I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime!
The snap, empty backfield. Peterman going to go to the end zone again. This time it was caught by Benjamin at the 10. Heads into the end zone. Touchdown! Kelvin Benjamin, touchdown! 28-yard pass from Nathan Peterman. Third and six, Panthers from their own 32. Garrett Gilbert takes the snap out of the gun. Back to throw. Looks right, looks left, bounced around, and sacked! Brought down by Horrible Harry! Harrison Phillips sacks him back at the 20-yard line. Here's the snap. McCarron, play fake. Rolls right, lots of time, fires down the middle, this time got a man wide open, caught by Riley at midfield, scooting down the left sideline, inside the 30, inside the 20, and brought down finally inside the 10-yard line. Brandon Riley got loose, and then got loose after he made the catch. They will mark him down at the 8-yard line. What a play. Here's the first down play, and Josh Allen throws into the end zone, caught, touchdown, what a strike. What a strike thrown by Josh Allen to Ray McCloud. A 14-yard touchdown pass. Josh Allen is on the scoreboard.
What a strike it was. What a night it was. Preseason game number one. The Bills lose it. But you'd never know the way folks are reacting, including us. Good afternoon and welcome to the day after the show, the day after the game. John Murphy, Steve Tasker in our One Buffalo studio here at One Bills Drive, Orchard Park, New York. The Bills lose it 28-23 to the Carolina Panthers, preseason game number one. But it was a fun game, Steve. There was a lot going on, a lot of good things going on, and just some big plays. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was, you know, we always come in and talk about what we're going to ask the fans on Twitter and how what they're going to think, and it was a lot going on last night. We had so many questions going in, and a lot of the questions, the most prominent ones, is how the quarterback's going to play, how the offensive line going to play, what's the defense going to look like. Man, when that game kicked off, that first half looked really good for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, a lot to like in that game, and we want to get your thoughts on that as well. We got a lot of ground to cover today as well. We're here until 3 o'clock to review last night's game. What's the matter?
It's the first time in – I mean, you think – I know things have changed now. The preseason started, training camp's going on. We didn't have – back in April when I started, we were looking for things to get over. Now we've got too much to fit into these shows.
We do. It's great.
Last night was – I mean, there was – everything was going on last night. Yeah. There's a good, really good. That's as good a preseason crowd as I've ever seen.
I agree.
And then the quarterbacks come out. There was, who's going to start at quarterback? They start Nathan Peterman, which caught a lot, raised a few eyebrows for some people that they're starting Nate Peterman. He comes out and proceeds to go, what did he go? 9 of 9 before having the tipped ball go for an interception to end his night and led two scoring drives. And Kelvin Benjamin come out jumping out of it, getting four receptions for over 50 yards. And then the offensive line. I mean, the first two quarterbacks in there, they were eating sandwiches back there. They had all kinds of time to throw. Yeah. It was really something.
There's a lot to like in that game. We want to hear from you. The phone line's open at 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And let us know what you think. You know, it's a Twitter poll as well. It's not really a poll, but you can react on Twitter at One Bills Live. What is your biggest takeaway from the Bills' first preseason game against the Panthers? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or tweet in your response. Look, we're a little bit giddy. We sound a little bit giddy, right? The Bills lost.
By
five. It wasn't all great last night, Steve, and we should, during the course of the show, we will address that. I mean, they gave up 21 unanswered points and lost the lead. There were some issues, but for the most part, the questions, and I think this goes to your point, the questions you may have gone into the game with, you saw some answers to those questions. Not complete answers yet, not perfect answers yet, but at least some of the issues going into the game were answered yesterday. And first and foremost, I think, is the quarterback. And you pointed out, Peterman played solid, really good. Surprise starter, a little bit of a surprise. Played very well, hit his first nine passes in a row. He looked sharp, he looked decisive, and got the ball there on time. McCarron played pretty well. I thought A.J. McCarron played pretty well. And then Josh Allen comes in, attempts that bomb on his first NFL play in an NFL preseason game that Robert Foster just couldn't bring it down in bounds. But what a great way for him to start. Allen was solid, and the touchdown pass to McCloud, I think, demonstrated that he is accurate, right? He threaded it through a little tiny window to Ray McCloud.
Yeah, and like a lot of young quarterbacks do, there are a couple of times Josh Allen tried to do a little too much. He was scrambling around back there and falling down, throwing one backwards over his head, almost got tipped for an interception on his first series, trying to make too much happen, as young players do sometimes. But nevertheless, and you go down the list of things, and you start with those quarterbacks, and I go straight to the offensive line. I was really and we've been talking about it. I mean, we should not have come as a surprise to you and me that the offensive line protected those guys.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of individual performers that were both thumbs up and thumbs down. All the writers here at One Bills Drive have been telling you what they think. But and then another thing that we didn't even touch on pre-show that we didn't talk about was, well, we did, I guess, Daboll.
Yeah, that was my first.
Brian Daboll called a really nice game for a preseason game, and I know your broadcast, you and Mark over in the radio side, and us on the TV side, we didn't really touch on it too much, but there were guys running on and off the field offensively all the time. Very different personnel groups, different formations, and they handled it pretty cleanly until the
Absolutely.
Second half. I think
there's no question.
The wheels kind of wobbled and came off a couple of times in the second half where they had a couple of penalties, delay a game. They had some offsides, and the young players kind of, it was a little, the moment was too big for a couple of them. You know, I mean, they kind of had some hiccups out there when some of the third stringers and the guys at the bottom of the roster started coming out and playing significant time. It started to show a little bit that they were in a little bit over their heads.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what, the first half of that game with both quarterbacks, both the first and the second offensive line. The defense, I thought, played well, although the defense had some trouble rallying to some of the short passes that Carolina was throwing. There was a lot to be excited about there.
Asking folks to give us their biggest takeaway. Here's my biggest takeaway, and you just touched on it. The offense, Brian Daboll and his offense. Daboll upstairs. It's funny because at camp he is right in the hip pocket of all those quarterbacks.
Right.
Game day, he's upstairs calling plays. It's a much better look up there, easier to call plays. Calling plays is going to be one of the things he does. And believe me, Sean McDermott knows that that's a little bit different for Brian Daboll. He did great, but the Bills executed great, getting different formations. 32 first-half offensive plays, I think. And I bet they had 16 different offensive looks, personnel combinations, out of those 32. Every play, they were changing personnel, lining up differently. It wasn't as if it was totally complicated, but in alignment it was, and substitution-wise it was. And we had the thing, you had it too, when you and I were in the meeting 2 days ago, and Sean McDermott was asked, what's your biggest key? He said, making sure we have 11 on the field. We laughed.
That's the reason.
Now we know why he said that, because he knew what they want to do offensively and defensively to a lesser extent. But now we know that they want to keep changing personnel. They want to be multiple. They want to be versatile. They certainly were yesterday, and they had good pace too. It wasn't as if they were waiting around to make substitutions. It wasn't as if the quarterbacks were waiting to get the play call in. It looked like a finely tuned machine with Daboll calling the play upstairs, radioing downstairs. I believe it was Rob Boris, the tight ends coach, who would radio out into the headset of the quarterback. It was a finely tuned machine with very few hiccups in the first preseason game. With all of that personnel shifting, that is the biggest takeaway I get from it. The other thing, that was 1A, 1B. Mm-hmm. We've seen it, talked about it at camp. The passes over the middle. There was a consistent attack in the passing game over the middle of the field, something the Bills were not able to do and did not attempt to do with Tyrod Taylor. They've got quarterbacks now who can handle that. They've got an offensive plan that incorporates that. It's big. It's big. As Kelso said, and I thought it was almost a genius point he made, he said, sometimes people think stretch the field means stretch it vertically. When you play like that and use the middle of the field, you're stretching the field horizontally too.
Right.
Right? Linebackers trailing in coverage can't stay with the receiver going over the middle. And it really works, and it worked really well. Extremely encouraged by what I saw from Brian Daboll in the offense last night. I didn't even think we'd see much of anything. I thought it would be basic, off-tackle plays and a couple of swing passes to backs coming out of the backfield. No. Did they open up the playbook? I don't know, but they showed us a lot and showed us a lot of different personnel combinations, and I'm extremely encouraged by that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. The thing that you notice because you think back, and for some of the fans, this is the first time they've seen the team since last year in Jacksonville. They didn't watch. They weren't at practice. They see maybe some highlights or something. But when you go out there this year, and the first thing you notice is what you said, pace. Man, they were on it. They were on the ball, in and out of the huddle. The offense was crisp. It seemed like the plays just happened a little bit faster.
Yeah.
They were even within each play, there was a crispness. So you weren't waiting and waiting for something to happen in these plays. The ball was out. Both those quarterbacks early in the game, the ball came out right on time. Rarely did I see him. Once in a while, they did later in the half have to step away. A.J. McCarron stepped away, scrambled, hit Riley on the big one. But for the most part, they went to their second read, and there it was. It was there. The ball was coming out. And that, with the personnel changes that they made, it was pretty impressive. And we've said this, if you've been listening to the show through training camp, one of the things I've said a couple of times, and you've noticed it too, Murph, they're buttoned up, and it showed. They're buttoned up at training camp. They're on schedule, on point. They are focused all the time. I mean, before practice, during practice, post practice, in their meetings as they walk through the building and stuff, these guys seem on it. And it showed last night. I mean, they showed up last night and were very crisp. And, you know, it's just encouraging. I'm not saying that they were, you know, that I'm not trying to pick the small things. I mean, they played really good. I mean, they scored they scored 17 points in the first half. Probably could have scored more. I thought they missed some opportunities, left some stuff on the field. But, I mean, a lot to be impressed with, and not only in the first and second units, but also in the coaching staff that was working them and the way they prepared and showed up.
Well, a big part of that coaching staff is the new offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, who we just talked about. I was so impressed by what he did. Sean McDermott was asked about it last night in the postgame press conference. Asked about Brian Daboll's first performance as the Bills' offensive coordinator. Here's what he said.
I liked his feel. I liked his rhythm in the first half in particular. You know, sometimes that comes with more and more reps, and I think Brian's off to a good start as far as that goes. You see him moving with different personnel and whatnot. That's a good defense. I know I was there, so I know that the talent they have on that defense, they've got some good players, and it was good to see us move the ball early in the game.
How encouraged were you that they were that very first time out and your players handled it? I mean,
yeah, very encouraged. I mean, the game, that's kind of one of the games within the game. Substitutions, game management. We had a couple situations where we had to burn a timeout. One intentionally, one I believe where I really didn't want to burn the timeout. And those are things we have to clean up. Where you want to have three timeouts as much as possible going into before half or at the end of the game because it's so valuable from a time standpoint.
It sounds like Sean McDermott was impressed. I was impressed, and I would think most of Bills fans would be impressed by. Again, it looked like a big package of offensive looks, right, personnel combinations. In the first preseason game, with the starters especially, they got it done without using too much time, without having issues, you know, who's on the field. And as McDermott told us Wednesday, I just want to have 11 guys on the field. They did it, and they did it pretty effectively yesterday. Really impressed by that.
Yeah, and let's face it, I mean, that's and one of the axioms as well, when you're a football player and you're on the team and you come out of a game like last night where there are so many positives and so many pleasant surprises, not only to the way that the offense looked and certain players, but also you know, position groups, the offensive line, wide receivers, all of that. And with the coordinator, with Daboll. But the thing also is there's also a truth that we always said. It's never – when you watch it on film, when you start to dissect it, it's never as good as it feels. And when it goes bad, it's never as bad as it looks. So it's going to be somewhere – they're going to temper all this giddiness that you and I have and all the pleasant surprises we have. They're going to temper it a little bit with some say, hey, you missed this spot, you missed that. Because there's a lot of things that they're going to dissect and say, you know, we need to get better.
Probably doing it as we speak, right? Players are here. Yeah, a lot of conditioning, stretching going on today, day after stuff. Lunch break coming up. They'll be going into the meeting rooms a little bit, a couple of minutes from now. And then coming up later this afternoon, a practice, a day after practice. I'm sure there'll be a light practice. Bills players off tomorrow, back at training camp on Sunday for a 2:15 practice. I'll be covering that one. and you need a ticket for that, you can go to our website for details on that. All right, the lineup today. We've got a pretty good show coming up. Before they get into the meeting room, we're going to have Marcus Murphy, who was a standout last night in the game. Second-year running back, Marcus Murphy from Missouri, who rushed it seven times, 35 yards, scored a touchdown run in the game, caught four passes for 30 yards, and got some return work, some punt return work. Got him an all-around night for Marcus Murphy. He is going to join us 12:30 today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, back with our regular Friday guest, Greg Cosell from NFL Films, longtime NFL Films senior producer, of course, with the NFL matchup show on ESPN. Greg Cosell will talk about last night's quarterback work by the Buffalo Bills and take a look at some of the other things going on this on last night's games, 12 games in the NFL last night. And then at 2 o'clock, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, will join us in studio to talk about last night's game and the road ahead for the Bills. In the meantime, the floor is yours. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or do it on Twitter at OneBillsLive. Your biggest takeaway from last night's preseason opener against the Carolina Panthers. Yes, a loss, but what did you think? Give us a call and we'll discuss. We'll start with Tom in Fort Erie. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, it is good to have Buffalo Bills football back.
Sure is.
There was so much that happened last night between Benjamin, the quarterbacks, the offensive line, everything. But my biggest thing that stuck with me this morning is the way that ball comes off of Josh Allen's hand. I mean, he's noticeably different when he throws the ball. You know, I'm seeing what we have here. We have a very, very raw, talented young man, and it's encouraging. Like, you guys are hitting everything right this morning or this afternoon. Very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing, look, we've talked about it for weeks, for months, really.
You can tell.
Josh Allen has a live arm, by far the best arm on the roster. And we are moving into the territory now where you start to weigh all the other things that go into playing quarterback in the NFL. Arm is one thing. Arm is important. Strength, a strong arm is very important. Accuracy is very important. But there's a lot more to playing quarterback in the NFL. And when Josh Allen can complete his education, then he'll be fully ready to play. He may play before he's fully ready to play, as a matter of fact. But he was pretty solid last night, I thought.
I don't know if I've ever been around a preseason where everything that we've talked about for months has come together so evidently in this first – in one preseason game. Josh Allen came in and, after the first two quarterbacks, and A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman looked so good. They both had great statistics. They weren't in there for very long. They both threw about a dozen passes. And both completed a really high percentage of those passes. The offensive line protected him and all that. But then when Josh Allen came in, you saw right away the physical difference that he had. He ran the ball extremely well. He had three rushes for 29 yards. He threw a tight windowed touchdown pass. He also made a couple of silly throws while he was falling down or getting sacked. He also didn't look as poised in the pocket or as sure of himself when the play wasn't right there for him. Right at the snap when his first read, he didn't look as calm as the other two guys did. Just everything that you stereotypically, you know, NFL fans have come to recognize about young players and veteran players was really evident last night in the quarterback play of the Bills. But by the same token, as you just said, the caller just said, you can tell Josh Allen was first-round physical talent, and it showed last night. And I called it on the broadcast. I sarcastically asked Rob Stone, I go, do you really think he's going to hand this first play off?
First play, second half, first play from scrimmage. And you basically predicted
he dropped back, and he heaved it. And it was, you know, it was a rocket. And, you know, typically, it's funny, stereotypically, he had accuracy problems at Wyoming, that was a big knock on him. He throws it out of bounds. He drifted it out of bounds. So, you know, all that stuff was there. And it's going to be fun to see if Josh Allen can conquer all the stuff that's in front of him. And it's going to be interesting to see AJ and Nate overcome the stuff that's in front of them. They're going to compete. They're going to be in this together. The offensive line is going to continue to get better. Is Trent Murphy and Kyle Williams, are they going to come back and play fresh and good football when we finally get a chance to see them? Corey Coleman is next up on the wide receiver line. I mean, we got a lot of things we're going to find out in the next couple of weeks. And it's after a game like last night, you can't wait.
Can't wait.
It is awesome.
Last night, one of the great moments was the start of the second half when Josh Allen took the field. The crowd,
a standing ovation.
61,000 folks. Crowd went crazy, gave him a standing ovation. After the game, Sean McDermott talked about his rookie first-round draft pick, Josh Allen, was asked to give an evaluation of how Allen did. Here's what McDermott said.
I thought he did some good things. Obviously, you could feel the energy in the crowd. That first pass, I thought was a great call by Brian. You know, a good throw, good catch, just out of bounds, you know. So, There were times, there were some things he needed to work on, but overall I thought he moved the ball at times. Good to see him in that two-minute drive as well. That's valuable experience for him. You know, all three quarterbacks, I think, had a touchdown pass, which was good to see. So.
Did you get nervous at all with him, you know, putting himself at risk of getting hit a couple of times? I mean, on that fourth down play, the one where he kind of, you know, went all over the place and then whipped it up.
Yeah, you know, it's quarterback, you're going to take some, but hopefully, with his athleticism, he was able to extend some plays, which was good to see as well. And you just got to be smart and know when to get rid of it. And, you know, these guys are big, fast, and physical. So, you know, I think he'll learn from the film.
I mean, is the question, does Josh Allen have room for improvement? Is that what he was asked, Sean was asked? Yeah, he does. Considerable room for improvement. But he's got the raw material, which I find exciting and have found exciting since he walked through the door here back in April. Really. Yeah.
And you look back at, you know, the quarterbacks were 25 of 39 last night. With three TDs and one interception. The two quarterbacks that started the first half, Peterman and McCarron, had over 108.8 for McCarron, 110 rating for Peterman. And Josh Allen ended up with an 84.5 quarterback rating. I mean, it's almost exactly what you would have expected that's just what you would expect. It's exactly what you would expect.
What do you think? What's your biggest takeaway from last night's game? That's our topic to start the show. We'll take your phone calls on it, 803-0550, and toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. And we'll read some tweets. Sean Piantowski tweets in, "Our offense actually produced. I was pleasantly surprised with Marcus Murphy. It'll be interesting to see who lands the third running back spot." We got Marcus Murphy coming up on the show about 10 minutes from now. I've seen some good things from Marcus Murphy in training camp, and he's in a crowded field. McCoy and Ivory, top of the depth chart. Then you got Travaris Cadet, Marcus Murphy, Tywan Jones, Keith Ford. I'm going to consider Tywan Jones a return specialist, so maybe he's not in the mix. You figure, though, between Cadet, Murphy, and the rookie Keith Ford, they probably keep just one of those guys, Steve, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. It's going to come down to their contributions all over the roster. But Murphy he was the guy that raised some eyebrows last night. He kind of burst onto the consciousness of Bills fans, 7 rushes for 35. Only had a long of 9 yards, but I think it was, Keith Ford, you know, he missed a blitz pickup last night and got Allen sacked. That was a mistake, but there are other guys on the roster too, other position groups as well that we're going to have to keep an eye on. Here's the simple fact of the matter. You know, we've already got people on the tweet sheet saying, "Hey, I want to see Josh Allen with the number one offensive line."
Yeah, James Limington says that. Josh Allen needs to be put with the ones they have a fair evaluation.
Well, there's three guys that are playing, and what are you going to do? You think and here's the thing. Josh Allen may play a little better if he's with the one offensive line. But you know what? Is he going to play better than going 9 of 10?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Where can I sign up for James Limington? I'm there. I would play him with the ones against Cleveland. I really would. Let's find out. I said this the other day. I wanted Josh Allen to start last night. He didn't. Okay. And they got good play from the other two.
Sure.
I want Josh Allen to start at Cleveland. If you're asking me, he would be my choice. Play him the first half.
Is he going
to
wait his turn, though? Is A.J. McCarron going to play?
Why does he have to wait his turn?
He's got
to
earn it.
He's got a tremendous arm. He's got the right raw material to play the position. What are you waiting for? Let's see. Maybe he'll fail. Maybe he'll spit up all over his shoes against Cleveland, but I'd like to see.
Well, here's the thing. As much as we like to make it all about Josh Allen, it's about the 53 guys. You're trying to get all of them ready to play against Baltimore September 9th.
Yeah, and maybe Josh Allen is the best quarterback.
Well, he's going to have plenty of time to do that. You got three more games, and you got to get everybody ready. So when it's time for him, here's the thing. When it comes time for him, he better make it when it comes his turn. If it's next week, fine. If it's the third weekend, fine. If it's the fourth week, fine. But when it happens, that's going to be his chance.
Yeah. And I say give him his chance, and I agree with the guy on the tweet sheet, James Limington. Give him his chance sooner rather than later. What are we waiting for?
I think you should give it to him later. I think you can wait till later for Josh Allen because that gives him an extra week of training camp to get better and make sure he's more successful.
There's no substitute playing in games.
Then why do you poo-poo the fact that I told you if that's your case, why don't you start him all four preseason games and go four quarters?
Because I don't want him to get hurt.
If he was going to be healthy, you'd do it, though.
If you guaranteed me he'd be healthy, yeah, I'd play him every snap.
And start him at the beginning of the year.
Yep. Well, let's see how he plays.
Well, you got.
I'm going week to week here. Last week, I thought Josh Allen should start. Yesterday, this next game, a week from today, I think Josh Allen should start. Play with the ones. Let's see what he's got.
Then why don't you cut AJ and Nate so there's nobody in his way?
Well, you don't have to cut him. You're going to need a backup quarterback at least.
Why? If he's not going to get hurt.
You guaranteed he wouldn't get hurt. He could get hurt. I know that. You told me.
Forget about getting hurt. What if he stinks?
then you're going to go
0-16.
Then you lose a preseason game.
Then you got two other guys who haven't even taken a snap.
You're misunderstanding. Start him next Friday. I'm not saying start him September 9th. Start him Friday. Play him with the ones. Do it sooner rather than later. If he fails, okay, you got McCarron or Nathan Peterman. Maybe pretty good alternatives. But next Friday, I'm going week to week here. I'd love to see. I don't think they will, but I'd love to see Josh Allen start.
I think they're going to start McCarron next weekend.
You're probably right. I'd rather have Josh Allen.
And then, third preseason game, they'll give Josh Allen three quarters. What do you think? That's a good idea.
I don't know. That's the so-called dress rehearsal.
See, then Josh Allen has had two extended, and he gets the whole second half of the Cleveland game. Then he goes into the third game, gets the whole first half through three quarters. Now he's had a pretty good preseason.
So you're saying week three, the so-called dress rehearsal game, if he doesn't start either of these two, you're ready to start Josh Allen? What does that do to the dress rehearsal?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Week three typically is considered the regular season dress rehearsal.
Right.
If he doesn't start next Friday, you telling me you'd start Josh Allen against the Bengals?
It's his turn.
Well, we're not in grade school here, assigning turns to people. You're trying to find a quarterback. I'm saying he's got the raw material to be the best of the bunch. Let's find out. Let's find out sooner rather than later.
They're finding out every day. And they found out some things last night, too.
They sure did. All right, we got Marcus Murphy standing by to join us. A lot more conversation with you. Steve and I, once again, at odds about what they should do with Josh Allen. But
my plan is better.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Marcus Murphy had the big game last night. Will join us live on set when we return. We're rolling here till 3 o'clock. Did I tell you the whole lineup? No, Greg Cosell's coming up at 1 o'clock.
Did we do the Twitter poll at all, or did we get off on that?
Well, it's not a poll. You guys overruled the poll, so you deal with that. I'm kind of mad. No, I'm not mad. There is no Twitter poll today. There is a Twitter question because I was outvoted by Mr. Tasker and our producer.
You will thank me later.
Marcus Murphy standing by to join us. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive in Orchard Park, New York. Marcus Murphy, that chair that's vacant next to Steve, that's Marcus Murphy's chair.
He'll be here any minute.
He'll be here any minute. He found his way into the end zone last night. We'll talk to him about that run.
He can find his way in here.
He can find his way here. This is nothing. Hey, let's talk about the game. What's your take? Your biggest takeaway from last night's Bills loss? Doesn't feel like a loss. That's the beauty of preseason, right?
Yeah, that's how
you can lose a game and be like, but look at what happened.
Let's face it, we've been talking about it every day for weeks now about question marks at offense. So I think the offensive line is what keeps coming back to me because the quarterbacks did look good. And the reason they looked good is because they had plenty of time to throw the football. When McCarron came in at the beginning of the second quarter for Peterman after Peterman finished his night, he took a sack on the first play with his number two offensive line. And then from that time on, even the second offensive line protected him, did a really nice job, not only in the passing game, but also they did in the run game. Last night I was kind of hesitant to give him some praise about the running game. We watched the first half of it today. They did actually do a pretty good job in the run game as well. And it was with guys like Murphy and Ford and Cadet and those guys. So they did. It wasn't Shady McCoy in there running. They moved some people around, and it was really a positive night in a lot of ways. Certainly, the defense in the second half, as the second team defense came onto the field, there was a drop off.
Yeah.
As you would expect for a team like Buffalo, who's going to hang their hat on a really good defense up front, kind of hard to find a really good defense to back them up.
Got a call on the line. Pat on his cell has some thoughts on the Buffalo defense. Pat, go ahead. You're on the air with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
My takeaway was partly the linebackers. Okay? It seemed like they weren't in sync all night. They didn't do anything. At least there wasn't any big calls or anything like that. What I was wondering about was what you guys thought about their linebacker core.
Yeah, that's a good
observation.
That's a good observation, I thought. We were looking for Tremaine Edmonds to come in and, you know, and rock it all over the field. He had like one tackle on the night. I think the strength, no question about it, the defensive line was the story of the defense with Starlow Tulele, Harrison Phillips going in and getting a sack in his time there, and the defensive backs. I think it's going to be hard for this linebacking core to play up to the level of those of the two units that surround them, the front four and the secondary. But nevertheless, I agree with you. They were a little bit nondescript last night. They made some tackles, obviously, but I thought they failed to rally on some of the short passes that Carolina threw. A couple of missed tackles led to some, but not all those were, those weren't all linebackers. Guys missed tackle in the back end of the defense, and I think that hurt them. And I think that's a great call, Pat, because I thought that was probably one of the most conspicuous problems by its absence was the linebackers. You just didn't call their names.
I think Lorenzo Alexander played one, maybe two series. That was it. So he doesn't figure into this equation. Milano, I think, starting on the weak side, you know, he's still a little bit undersized, I think, and that hurts them from time to time. Julian Stanford, who's primarily a special teamer, I thought had good plays and bad plays, Steve. He seemed to be kind of a factor guy. And Deion Lacy gets a lot of reps, kind of an undersized linebacker, backs up Lorenzo. Again, some good, some bad. Tanner Vallejo played a lot. Mike linebacker, backup, two or three in the depth chart. But, yeah, I agree with you, Pat. There were some issues back there, especially as the game went along. Here is Nick in Buffalo. Nick, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Just wanted to say that, John, I get your excitement with Allen, but I totally agree with Steve. He needs to earn it. He needs to be patient, learn his toys. You know, he's still rough around the edges yet, and we need to work on that. And then I did have another thing. You guys see Brandon Bean and the coaches and the guys and the staff a lot, and I was wondering if you may be able to ask them if they're ever going to bring the Jills back.
the Jills. I heard nothing about that. I think there's still a lawsuit. Isn't there still an ongoing lawsuit?
I doubt.
Probably not going to happen in the life of the lawsuit.
You don't. Yeah, it's a rare occurrence when you bring your ex back and it works out. So I'm thinking no. And by the way, Nick, thank you. That's 1-0 me, Murph.
Oh, it's a poll. We do have a poll, after all. It is a poll. Yeah, I am excited about Josh, and I don't know how much good being patient will do, but we can discuss that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back. Marcus Murphy is going to join us when we return. Steve Tasker and me, John Murphy, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCarron takes the snap. They'll run it this time. Marcus Murphy finds a crease. Heads to the end zone. He is in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. Marcus Murphy scores from 8 yards out.
There you go. The touchdown from Marcus Murphy last night in the game against Carolina Panthers. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here at One Bills Live, and Marcus Murphy joins us. Congratulations, Marcus. Found the end zone and played a lot yesterday. I haven't looked at the play number, but you had a lot of snaps in that game.
Yeah, I did. It was fun last night. You know, the first time we got to line up against some opponents, and, you know, we came out, and I think we did a good job.
Now, let's talk about the touchdown for a second. I watched it over again today. You had a little kind of hesitation move that I think set it up. You got a good block from Newhouse over on that side and a couple of others, I think Wyatt Teller. But I thought your little hesitation, it was like a jab step towards the middle and then you cut to the outside, made all the difference in the world on that play.
Yeah, I was just trying to read the blocks. They did a good job up front, you know, setting it up for me. You know, and I just did a little hesitation just to freeze the backer, and I was able to walk in.
Yeah, they did a nice job up front for you on that. And we've been talking about the offensive line because there's a lot of new faces up there, and they're trying to find the right five. We thought they played extremely well, and you're the biggest beneficiary. You led the team in rushing with 35 yards, 7 carries. You know, talk a little bit about the vibe going out, because this is the first time this team has hit the field. What it feel like?
It feel good. Just as an offense, you know, we've been working all camp. We've been trying to, you know, just stack the days and just continue to, you know, work hard, pushing up front, you know, get some blocks and just executing the run game and the pass game. And I think we did good. You know, we still have some work to do, but I think we did good for the most part.
Hey, Marcus, you've been around the league a little bit with the Saints for a couple of years and played considerably, 13 games with the Saints a couple of years ago, with the Jets a little bit last year. Do you handicap, you know, the picture at running back, knowing, you know, you've got LeSean McCoy, you got Chris Ivory, and then – It's you and a bunch of guys, right? I mean, do you look at that a lot when you're in training camp or even coming out of last night's game?
I mean, we have a very talented running back group. You know, a lot of vets in the room. You know, I just try to learn a lot from those guys and just come out and work hard every day. You know, you really try not to look at the depth chart and things like that. You know, just I focus on controlling what I can control and just making the best out of each day and just getting better.
One of the things coming in this game, nobody knew what this offense was going to look like. And we've been talking a little bit early in the show, but a lot of different people, a lot of different formations, a lot of shifts, splitting you guys out and then bringing you back in for the snap. But it all seemed to go, and we didn't see too many guys messing that up. That takes a lot of time and a lot of reps.
Yeah, we've been working hard, and that comes to focus. You know, we were focused just day in and day out, you know, just working on the small things, the technique, the fundamentals, and just applying it on game day. And I think we did well. Like I said, we still have some rooms and some areas to improve, but I think we did good for the most part.
It seemed like watching last night's game that maybe it was a little bit of a window into what Coach Daboll, the offensive coordinator, is trying to put in there, kind of a diverse, multifaceted approach, a lot of substitutions, and that keeps guys, even backups, depth guys, on their toes, I would think, not knowing, like, hey, now I'm in this package, right?
Right, and, you know, just everyone, I think it's like an all-hands-on-deck type of offense. You know, we have a lot of weapons. We have a lot of guys we can get the ball to in space and, you know, a lot of guys that can do good things, you know, so – I like how he kind of rotated everybody and got a lot of opportunities for everyone.
The big thing coming out of preseason always, you came out all right? I was asking you before, you came out all right? No bumps, bruises, or shaving nicks or anything like that?
No, just the typical, you know, after-game soreness. You know, took a couple hits, but I'm good.
Marcus, you must feel pretty good. Last night, you know, people watched and saw how you can contribute to this roster, but you did that last year, New Year's Eve, in the finale at Miami. You must feel like I know what I have, and I've shown these guys, this coaching staff, what I have to offer based on your performance last year against the Dolphins.
I mean, like I said, you know, I just want to come out, and every opportunity that I get, I just want to take advantage of it. I work hard every day, day in and day out in practice, just learning everything that I can from the older guys, taking notes, and just trying to apply it to my own game. So any time that I get the chance, I just want to be able to make a play.
When do you guys head back to St. John Fisher?
We head back Sunday or Saturday night for curfew.
Let's talk about the return work just in the remaining couple of minutes we have here, Marcus. A lot of work on punt returns, but you did that. Punt returns for the Saints 2015, you brought back 28, including a 74-yard touchdown. So that's nothing new for you, right, running back punts, right?
Yeah, I did that a lot in college and even coming into the NFL, my rookie season, my second season, I was doing punt returns and kick returns for the Saints. So, you know, I'm kind of comfortable back there. Special teams is a big part of my game. You know, I just try to make a play whenever I have the ball in my hands. And, you know, if it's on special teams or offense, I just want to be a playmaker.
Kick returns in your resume a little bit too, and you were back there on some kick returns yesterday.
Yes, sir. He threw me back there. You know, I was happy that I got the opportunity. And, I mean, we really didn't have, you know, a lot of kick return opportunities to bring it out. But, you know, just being back there, it felt good.
What are the early returns? I say that. What are the early?
No pun intended.
What's the early opinion about how this new kickoff is going to be? Danny Crossman say? You know, what was the vibe coming off the field?
Well, I mean, we only had one opportunity to bring it out. Right. So, you know, it's kind of still hard to judge. It's still in the air. We're about to go to meetings now and, you know, kind of figure out the things we need to work on. But, you know, it's still kind of, you know, we still a work in progress.
Yeah. Hey, Marcus, before we let you go, I want to ask you, in high school, you grew up outside Dallas, DeSoto High School, a little bit south of Dallas, Texas. You had a pretty famous high school football teammate, Von Miller, former first-round pick. You went up against him in practice?
Yeah, I did.
What was that like?
It was amazing. You know, I learned a lot from those guys. He was just as good as he is now. You know, I mean, I'm sure he's gotten better. But in high school, I mean, he was a dog, you know. And just going up against those guys when I was young, I was a freshman and he was a senior. So, you know, going against those older guys, it helped molded me into the player I am now.
What was he, like a defensive end, linebacker?
He was a middle linebacker.
Middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Run all day, I bet.
He could. He was a middle linebacker and he returned kicks.
How'd he do with that?
Man, he was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a superstar.
Do you keep in touch with him at all, or
do
you bump cross paths at all?
I do. In the off season, you know, we hook up a lot. We hang out. You know, I haven't talked to him in a while since we've been in camp, but that's my guy.
That's great. Hey, continued success. Yeah. Best of luck to you, Marcus. Thank you.
Game last night. Stay healthy.
Thank you. I'll try. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, Marcus Murphy, Bills running back, who had the big game last night, both in return work and, of course, on the field as a running back. 7 carries, 35 yards, caught some passes too, 4 catches for 30 yards, and we thank Marcus for joining us on the show today. Thanks very much, Marcus. John Murphy, Steve Tasker talking about last night's game. You can join us as well. It's not a Twitter poll today, but it is a Twitter discussion. I was overruled on my poll idea. And do I seem a little antsy about that? Yes. What's your biggest takeaway from the Bills' first preseason game against the Panthers? 28-23 loss, but what do you take away from it? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter. You can reach us on Twitter. Let us know what you think. From the tweet sheet from Wandering Jack, a frequent Twitter contributor here. He says, as I hoped yesterday, starting O-line looked like it will be okay. That is a huge relief. Also, with their play last night, neither A.J. nor Peterman are going down without a fight. Could be a few weeks before we have an actual leader in the clubhouse for starting quarterback. Could be.
Yeah.
And let me say this, too, Steve. We got one game of evidence here on everything. The way the starting offensive line plays, the quarterback battle. I don't want to draw too many conclusions based on one preseason game.
I don't want to talk in a circle and come back to where you think I'm agreeing with you about Josh Allen, but you kind of got to start thinking about, well, and Sean McDermott alluded to it in our production meeting last Wednesday. He didn't want this decision about the quarterbacks to linger.
Yeah.
I don't have any clarity now either. I mean, it gets murkier now.
Yeah, in a good way. Kelso and I talked about
it.
Kelso brought that up second half. He said, well, do you think – I guarantee it's not any easier now for them to make the quarterback decision. Yeah. And I said, and I guarantee you it's a much more pleasant decision based on what we saw last night.
Well,
it's not like you're dreading making that decision.
Right. You're not just – it doesn't seem like it's the lesser of two evils now, right? You feel like you've got a good choice for both of them. But nevertheless, and I get back to it again, you don't want to get two guys – half ready to play your opener against Baltimore. You've got to get one guy ready. And Sean McDermott said he doesn't want this decision to go on. They got to make it. And, you know, one preseason game, yeah, okay, you don't want to make the decision now. But, man, after Cleveland, you kind of got to start thinking about it.
Well, think about it in these terms, too, and we got a couple of calls on this. If you're the coaching staff here, you might, you know, look at the video over this weekend and say, look, we got good work from Peterman in the first preseason game. We got good work from McCarron. We kind of know who they are. There's NFL tape. There's NFL evidence who they are. We have this other guy, 7th overall pick, a big, strong arm, amazing potential, the future of the franchise. He is all of that, Josh Allen. And we don't know whether he can, you know, we don't know how good he can be. So let's find out sooner rather than later. You know what I mean? If they wait, you would wait and be patient with McCarron or Peterman because you kind of know who they are. With Josh Allen, maybe he takes off like a rocket if he plays with the ones. That's why I'm looking for him to start.
That's the question. How fast can he get good?
Yeah.
He's not good now. He's okay. He shows flashes, and you kind of feel like, I see the 7th pick, you know?
Yeah.
But how fast can he get good?
Let's find out. That's what I say. Adam on the line from Derby. Adam, what do you say?
Hey, guys. First off, John and Steve, love the show.
Thanks.
I'd like to weigh in on the Allen debate, definitely. I agree 100% with John. Start Allen the first half in Cleveland. Get him some first-team reps. Take that Ferrari out of the garage. I thought that Josh earned the playing time with what he did with the third team. I was at the game last night. And, you know, I was most impressed with his pocket presence with that third team, even with the line failing. You know, see what McCarron and Peterman do with a less clean pocket, you know, in playing with the second and the third team. And then give him the third game with the Bengals. I think that Allen needs some first-team reps. We want to see what he can do.
Okay.
I think that's the favorite opinion.
All right.
Yeah, okay, 1-1. But, I see it. And it makes good sense when you say it like Adam just did. You want to see what he can do when he's not harried by an unclean pocket. And I will say this. I don't know if you saw it. I'm sure you did. He completed a really nice pass over the middle, took a shot right on his sternum. It kind of bent him over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he stood right back up and went back down the field. But I, you know, in the NFL, ultimately your quarterback is going to be asked to stand there with a guy running right at him and not to run away, but to throw the ball and take the hit. And he did that last night. First game out, first quarter of his first game, first couple of series. I mean, he took a shot where he had to stand in the face of a rush and get hit right in his chest. And it didn't feel good. You could tell. His body language told you that he kind of got a little something on that hit. But he stepped right back in the huddle and called the next play, and then he went on. So I was that was one of the things I was probably most impressed with. Certainly his arm strength, but I kind of knew that. We'd been watching him practice. That's something I hadn't seen. And that was as impressive as anything he did last night.
Call here from Steve in Ohio. Hello, Steve. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. I spoke to you yesterday. Steve, God bless you. I hope you don't feel like you're getting beat up, but I got to go with the last callers, too. I was away from the TV for a second, but here's my take. He earned the right because he's the number seven draft pick in all of the NFL. He is the Ferrari. You find out more about McCarron. You know, we all know them. They have history. There's tape. But you will know if they got to play against the twos and threes. I think Allen must play against Cleveland. He must play him against the ones. He needs to throw to Clay. He needs to have Shady or have one of the other guys. He's got to have this. It's these guys are 12-month players. The old days where you see the Bills on Friday night and, you know, Lupacone's having a beer in a club or something. Say, how's the game going to be Sunday? This is the star.
You lost me there, but I agree with
well,
you.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, and I get it. But here's my take as well. I mean, that I hear what you're saying, and I acknowledge it. You want to see him. But, you know, Josh Allen needs to play to get better. Josh Allen needs some reps with the ones. Josh Allen needs to practice more with the ones. But you know what? You know, the team needs the guy that's going to give them the best chance to win. And the team needs a quarterback who can do it while everybody else is getting better around him. If you're going to start altering your entire practice, and it's not just pulling one quarterback out and plugging another one in. If you want to alter your plan because one guy happens to be, because here's the thing. Football teams have guys that are physical specimens on them all the time. Every year you've got these guys that look the part. I mean, and I like last night, Logan Thomas had a really nice game down inside. I said he used to be a basketball player. Not a basketball player. He used to be a quarterback, which is almost like a basketball player. But that's why I was so bummed. I thought I stunk on the broadcast line. I was so bummed. But Logan Thomas, who's a physical specimen, a tall, rangy, huge athlete that used to play quarterback and is now playing tight end, you've got great athletes all over your team. They've got to do everything it takes to play their position. Just because they're big and strong doesn't make them automatically a starter. They got to play, and they got to do everything that everybody else does to earn their spot on the roster, just like Josh Allen does. Now, being the seventh pick doesn't earn anything. It gets you a spot in camp. That's it. It doesn't earn you a spot on the depth chart. You have to, not your draft status. But I'm with you. I know everybody wants to see him.
I don't have time to tell you how wrong I think that is. Because we got to get to a break. We're coming back with more. Greg Cosell from NFL Network. He'll join us in a moment from NFL Films, I should say. And ESPN's Inside the NFL is what I'm really trying to say. Greg Cosell breaks down some of the quarterback performances last night for the Bills and others. He's coming up next. More of your phone calls, too. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.